Good morning. I want to welcome you to The Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. It's good to be home. You know, we were gone a couple weeks. We had a vacation. Mandy, I shared with some of you earlier that she went back to work this year, and she said, the one thing that I'm going to do if we're doing that, we're going on a family cruise. And so we went this past week, and we had a great time. So that's where we were the last couple Sundays. And it's good to be back with you here today. And I want to start a series on what's in the box. While we were gone, I had a lot of time to reflect and just some questions that, you know, you kind of a refocus point in our lives. And, you know, at some point in everybody's life, there comes a moment where you feel like you're suffocating. There comes a moment where you feel like, you know, you're in this river of life. And the river just starts to overtake you. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like I'm trying to breathe, but every time I put my head up to breathe, I hit something, right? It's like, how do I breathe? How do I have life? How do I move when life all around me is surrounding me and suffocating me? And really, the answer to that question lies within another question. And that is, what's in the box? I take this from a story that I read while we were on vacation, about a guy named Mike Cammy. If you're in the business world, you may have heard of him. Mike Cammy, in the late 80s, through the early 80s all the way through the 90s, was known as one of the chief strategic planners in the business world. I mean, if you had anything, any major company, he worked with IBM when they were a startup. He worked with Coca-Cola. He was one of these major chief strategists. And when he was working with Coke at one point, Coke decided that they needed a shift in their strategy. And so they brought him in and he walked them through simply the principles that you do to figure this out. And it is answering the question, what's in the box? And so what they begin to do is they begin to say, what is the true important thing? What do we need people to do? And in the 80s, you may remember this. Go back to that picture. You may remember this that happened. They had this marketing of Coke. Now, just a show of hands, because I asked a few people, and I've noticed that this is a pretty big divide. Does anybody remember this when just Coke came out? Let me see your hand. You remember this? They decided that as a chorus, all their leadership, they don't need Coca-Cola anymore. They have a new formula. They decided in the box it was something fresh, something new. So they came up with this thing called New Coke. This is for those of you that don't remember the 80s, right? And so what they did is, They marketed this really big, and what happened was it fell flat. It is known as one of the biggest debacles in marketing history, because what they thought would bring this increase, instead, they're quickly everything began to decline. So they call Mike Cammy in. Mike Cammy comes back, and they're like, hey, something happened. We have a problem. This is not working. It's falling down. He says, what do we do? So he asks him this question, what's in your box? He said, because the reality is, if it's not working for you, it's because you have the wrong thing in your box. So he said they went through a series of exercises and tried to find what's in their box. And they came back with one thing, American tradition. And so what they did is they shifted back to Coca-Cola. You remember this? The real thing. Not the new thing anymore. We're now the real thing. Because it's American, it's a classic. That's when classic began put. It was, everything changed. It's like, we want to go back to classic. Because what they discovered is, they had shifted everybody away from what? The tradition of what was most important. Coke was known from the 1800s. It was a staple in many people's lives. And they took that away, and it fell flat. And it all came back from the question of what's in your box. You see, oftentimes, as you saw in the video before, we try so hard to fill our lives full of things. And what happens is we miss out on the important things in our lives. But I want to challenge you even beyond that. Not just the important things that you fill your jar with, but what is the one thing? What's the one thing that is the most important thing to you? It's more important than anything else you do, anything else you use. What is the one thing that you do it? And how do you find that one thing and make it a priority in your life? I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is asking some rhetorical questions, and he really gets to the heart of where many of us live. And I want to read through the message. It's one of my favorite verses in the message and how it lays it out. But it asks this question. Let me read it. Verse 28. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I love this part. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, what's interesting here is he's asking some rhetorical questions. He asks, are you tired? Let's just stop right there. How many of us, amen to that, right? Amen. And then he asks the question, are you worn out? Woo! That's a good old Southern question. You worn out? I'm worn out. You know what that means. Worn out is a Southern term. Now, are you worn out? Are you tired? Are you at a point where you have no help in you? You don't know how you're going to find it. You don't know what you're going to do. You know, you've had that moment. You know what I'm talking about. And he's asking these questions, wanting to grab your attention. Because the truth is, most of us live in that state. All of technology we have is built for one purpose. What is that? To make your life easier. But yet, with the more technology we have, it makes our lives what? Faster. And it goes faster and faster and faster. Gracie turned 13 this week. And I'm like, dear Jesus, what happened? Right? Because everything shifts. And you're like, man, life moves so fast. And when you ask the question, are you tired and worn out? It's like, are you tired includes most of us. Worn out, and then we're all like, yeah, that's me, you know? Then he asks another question. Are you burnt out on religion? Wow. How true is that in most people's lives? A lot of times the reason people don't follow Christ is because of religion. Because they're sick of the jargon. They're sick of the what they consider fake. What you realize, though, is in life, there's nothing perfect with anything, is there? But the reality is, even religion, what most people may say is negative, is what? Still leading you towards Christ. But he's asking this question, are you tired? Are you burned out on religion? Are you worn out? But you see, we ask the question, why are we tired? Let's just start there. Why are we tired? Why do we feel like that poor little girl, you know, just like I've given all I have, there's nothing left in me? Well, you see, here's one of the reasons why. In the first half of our lives, we're chasing success. Think about this with me. You graduate high school. You may or may not go to college, or you seek a career. You're chasing what? You're chasing success. You're trying to achieve all that you want. And we go, 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 go. And then at some point in our lives, whether it's at your midlife crisis at 40 years old, whether it's later on in life, you start asking not what can I achieve, not success. You start looking for significance. You start saying, what am I going to leave behind? What is my legacy? How will I finish this race? And we're in this constant, if you would, hamster wheel where life just keeps going and going and going. And what happens in that process is, if you get off that wheel, what happens? You flip right off, don't you? Because the wheel keeps going. And we wonder why. Why are we tired? I submit to you today, one of the main reasons we're tired, it's because we have not discovered what's in the box. We haven't discovered the one thing. When you're chasing success, when you're young in life, it's, I want this, I want this, I want this. If I could just have this, I'll have success. If I could just have this, whether it be money, if I could just have this job, if I could just have this promotion, if I could just get to this level, if I could just have this house. We have all these ideas. If I could just get there, everything's going to be okay. But the reality is, when you get there, you find out what? You have success panic. Because you realize, I have everything I thought I wanted, and I don't have anything that I need. Because you haven't answered the question, what's in the box? What is the one thing? The one thing that if I just sought after, everything would change. So he's asking this question, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? You see, really, many times we are not willing to submit to God until we get to this point. We go, and we don't want to put God in that box first because he's there. Track with me. In many of your lives, God's in the box. He's just not your one thing. They're competing agendas. He's important, but so is this. So is family. Is family important? Absolutely. Is it more important than God? I don't know. It's your question. But there comes a point where you have to say, how do I find significance? How do I find peace? How do I breathe when I'm suffocating? It comes when you begin to put God as the number one thing in your box. When He rises to the top, everything changes. That happens when you begin to get away. You see what He said? Are you tired? Are you wore out? He says, then get away with me. So how do we get away with God? When we get away with God, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of retreating? We see an example of this when Jesus did what? When He fasted for 40 days in the desert, didn't He? He retreated. He fasted. Why? Because all the moving parts around Him slowed down, didn't they? And He focused in on the one thing. The reason He was here. The reason His life was here. Along the way, what happened? Satan brought in temptation, didn't he? He tempted Him with what? Success? Hey, if you'll follow me, look what I can give you. He tempted Him with the miracle. Like, hey, throw yourself down from this mountain. Look what I can do. See, the same temptations we face are the same temptations that He went through as well. And so when you get away with God, everything slows down. And what He's asking us here in this question in Matthew chapter 11, He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out in religion? I think He just basically said, all right, I got everybody's attention. Now He says, get away with me. Put me as number one in your box and watch what happens. One of the things in this cruise that we went, and one of the reasons, when you go on vacation with Mandy, if you know Mandy, Mandy is a planner. And anytime we go on a vacation, it's a love-hate relationship, because you'll love the fact that you will see everything there is to see. I was talking to some guys about this earlier. They were talking about Disney World, and they had two different opinions. You know, one was saying, oh, Disney World wears me out. The other one was saying, oh, Disney World's amazing. I enjoy it. I was like, with Mandy, it's a burnout, man. We're going park open to park close. And you're lugging that thing, and we're going to see everything there is to see. We go, 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 go. Now, the beauty is you see everything. The negative is you die, okay? And, you know, it's give and take. So one of the beautiful things, the way she suckered me into this cruise was, on the cruise, I can't plan. But there's a problem with cruises. You know, they give this little thing. If you've ever been on a cruise, called a compass or an agenda, yeah? That thing comes out, and that's like gold to her. Highlighters fly out, and she's like, boom, boom, boom. Look what we can achieve on the ship, right? But even in that world, there's a beautiful thing. You have really no connection to the outside world. And it forces you to slow down. Everything is done for you. They make your bed. They do everything. They feed you, you know, more than you can even eat. You waddle around. You know what I'm saying. Those who have cruised, yeah, you laugh because you've been there, you know. Gracie's favorite meme she saw was bring your fat pants, you know. And then that was, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. But in that time, what's interesting is you have no connection. And can I tell you, that's kind of nice sometimes. When you can't call, you can't do anything because you really have no outside connection. It slows life down. Because when life slows down, you begin to discover what the one thing is. You begin to discover what truly is in your box. If it is the things of this world, you're going to go stark, raving mad. If you have to have internet, good luck. Because it don't work. I can promise you that. Like they call it streaming. Streaming means you can check your email. Hey, you know, it's not going to happen. But when you slow down, the things that are important to you begin to come into clarity. You begin to see it. And then Jesus says this statement. I love this. He says, learn what? The unforced rhythms of grace. Learn how to walk with me. Find the rhythm that I'm walking in. Paul writes about it when he talks about what? Learn how to walk in the Spirit. This is the same stuff. When you break it down in the Greek, you're going to find it's learning to walk with the Lord. Because when you walk with the Lord, you begin to see that there's synergy. You're not fighting against it. That it's not just this constant. And track with me. This is what happens. When in our lives, what we try to do is we push, 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 push. But when you walk with God, you know what he asks you to do? Release. Release. Trust me in the Lord with all your heart. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. You see this pattern? He's wanting you to release, but we want to push. But when we push, there's this constant thing. And we learn to walk in the unforced rhythm of grace. How do we do that? First step is to quit pushing so hard and start releasing. Ask yourself this. What am I trying to force that is out of my control? What am I trying to force that is out of my control? What are you wanting God to do, and you're praying for God to do it, and he's not answering it the way you think he should answer it? Is he hearing you? Sure. He's just not answering in time, right? I mean, you've heard the old saying, God's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he's going to be there on time. I mean, I know some of you say, that's debatable, right? If you're in a crunch, you're saying, your timing's a little off there, right? But when you try to force something, nothing good comes out of it, does it? And when you're seeking success, we're constantly pushing. But when you're looking for significance and saying, God, what, you're my one thing, everything shifts. One of the things about children is we learn that when you have a boy and a girl, you learn two different things. And I call them the two D's. With girls, it's called drama. Everything is blown out of proportion. You know, it's like, oh my God. It really is that bad. I mean, it really is like that. I mean, like, you just take it. It's the extreme, you know. It's like, I mean, you're thinking, what's going to happen? You're like, that's it? Okay, we're good. We're good, right? With boys, I call it destruction. I have no idea how, but they break everything that's around them. And their answer is, I don't know. You already knew it, didn't you? What did you do? I don't know. How did you do that? I don't know. And you're like, this pat answer, I don't, what do you mean you don't know? So the other day, Eli comes to me and he says, hey, Dad, I need to talk to you. What happened? And that's your answer. It is a father, what happened? It's not like, what's going on? Like the girl's like, tell me what's going on with the boys. What happened? Something has happened. Like you are here because something has happened. He's like, I accidentally broke the controller on the Xbox. Okay, accidentally. Yeah, it was an accident. So let's go look at it. So we walk up there, right? Going up there, we're looking at it. And I see this cord in the controller in like seven different pieces. Like piece, 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 piece. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, tell me what happened. And I don't know. I put it in and it just like blew up, you know, and you're like, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen, you know? So let's try this again. What happened? Well, I was putting it in and, you know, this piece. And I'm like, okay. Now, we had to walk through this, you know, the lessons that you can learn from this. All right, first of all, it doesn't go into seven pieces, you know, like, so I can see here, you put it in the wrong way first. Yeah. I said, then you put it in the wrong way again. Yeah. I said, so at what point did you just start jamming it and everything went to pieces? He's like, eyes got big, like, oh, you caught me. You know, it's like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, you know, and you're going, son, you know, you cannot force a round peg into a square hole. If it's not fitting, there's a reason for this. You know, if it had been a girl, she'd be like, oh, dear God, I broke the controller. But, you know, the boys are like, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. And the point behind this is this. When you are pushing something constantly in, you're trying to make it happen, and it's not happening. There's a reason for it, isn't there? And some of you are pushing even for the right thing. I'm pushing to be closer to God. I'm pushing. I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to find that. And that's okay. But when you begin to learn the voice of the Spirit, you realize it's not about pushing. It's about listening. It's about releasing and saying, God, I'm going to trust you because you're my one thing. I'm no longer discovering what my one thing is. I know you're the only thing that I need. You're everything. You're my breath. You're my life. You're all that I need. Psalms 37:5 says this, commit everything. What does everything mean? Man, it's not that hard, is it? Everything is everything. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will do what? So he's telling us, if you commit everything, I'm going to help you. How many of you want the Lord's help? But yet we don't commit everything, do we? Come on now. He's telling you, here's your answer, but we don't often follow in line. He says he will make your innocence radiant like the dawn and justice for your cause. He will shine, you will shine like the noonday. So he's saying, look, I'm here. I'm going to help you with everything. The second thing we have to do is shift from seeking success to seeking significance. Answer this question. What am I doing that will have a lasting impact? You see, we fill our lives with all these things, but when he's not the one thing, he's not the filter. Think of it like this, a filter. It filters out what? Everything that doesn't need to be there. When he's not your filter, what happens? Things get distorted. Things get cloudy. And when you shift from seeking success to seeking significance, everything begins to change inside, because it's not about what I'm going to achieve. It's about what am I going to leave. What is going to have a lasting impact when everything else is done and gone? It's shifting from work being important, hobbies being the most important, the things we enjoy, to saying maybe spending time with God is the most important. Maybe spending time with my children is more important. When you look at poll after poll, I read a recent Gallup poll of some of the most successful, their top high-end leaders that have achieved so many great things. Almost all of them, one of their top regrets was the lack of time with their family. What were they doing? They're chasing success, but they forgot about significance. In the scale of life, the significance is what lasts. It's what impacts people. You look at people who've achieved great things, everybody has regrets. Because hindsight is what? It's 20/20. But in this, when you want to learn how to walk in the unforced rhythm of grace, it is shifting from seeking success to seeking significance. Answering that question, what am I doing that will have a lasting impact? Look what Deuteronomy chapter 6. I love this passage because why? It's one, spelling out commandments, spelling out the things that the children of Israel should do. But look at one of the most important things it asks people to do as the children of Israel. It says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You must love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. We know this is what? The greatest commandment. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Now look at verse 7. I love this. He says, repeat them again and again to who? Your children. The great commandment. Matthew chapter 22, that Jesus tells us is the greatest commandment. We see in Deuteronomy 6, he says what? Repeat them to your children. So what? Love God with all you have. That means what? Put God first in your box. Make him first. And when you do, don't just do that. Don't just seek him, but repeat it to your children. Why? Talk about it when you're at home. He tells them how. How do you do it? Talk about him when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Why did he tell them to do this? So that they can see this, that it leaves significance. It has a lasting impression in their lives. And you have to shift in your thinking. When you're walking in the unforced rhythm of grace, you have to shift in your thinking from seeking success to seeking significance. And lastly, don't try and be a trailblazer. Follow the light and path he lays before you. Everything that God has designed, he designed it in what? Fellowship. Even from the beginning of time, he had man. His design was what? That he wanted to fellowship with man. That's why he created them in his own image. But then he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created woman. All along, God's design is fellowship among the believers. When the church was formed in Acts chapter 2, it was with what? He says they met together. It was all about connecting together. It's the old saying, even Lone Ranger had who? Tonto, right? It's not good to be alone. When you place yourself on an island, you isolate yourself. And then what happens? You begin to wither away because you disconnect from the life source that God has given you. He created people around you for a reason. But more than that, he creates a path for you. Amen? Psalms 119, 105 says what? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It said it's a lamp to guide my feet. You see, God wants to design. He has a path laid out for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Not to harm you, but to prosper, to give you a hope and a future. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Think about this. God had a purpose for you. He had a design for you. And what you may think has been messed up or is not there, that's not true. God still has a design. Well, how do you discover your design? You do it by discovering what's in the box. If you allow all the crazy things in life to become first, then guess what happens? There's no room for him in your box. Even if he's in your box and he's not the one thing, then everything else, what happens? It's like weeds. Jesus talked about this too in the parable of the weeds. It just takes over. It chokes the life out of what the most important thing is. I can tell you, being in the ministry over 17 years, it's been interesting because you discover people come and people go. You know, there's a process to it. And as a pastor, it's hard because you love everyone. And the reality is, most times I'll meet people and they'll be like, oh, man, I love God. I got busy. It's not that they don't love God. They do love God. I meet them. I don't question it. I know they love God with all their heart. But the reality is what's happened is all the other things have filled their box up and they don't have time. Can I tell you something? That's one of the most dangerous places because that's the enemy that he destroys your schedule and takes away the things that are the most important to you and fills them with things that don't even matter. Most people in this room, if I asked you, give me your top priorities, all of us would say what? God, family, we'd list this out. And I believe that. I don't even think I think that's true. I think in your heart, that is where he ranks. But the problem is, oftentimes our hearts don't match our schedules, do they? And what I want you to understand is that is a trick of the enemy. If he can allow you to be so consumed with your schedule that you don't have time for the things that are most important to you, like family and God, then guess what happens? He wins. God's design for your life is to have peace, to have joy. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. These are the things God wants you to live in and walk in. That's what he wants to give you. But what happens is we get so busy we miss those things because everything else fills our box. And the one thing that matters the most is the one thing that gets suffocated. And I want to challenge you today. If you're tired and you're worn out, if you're burnt out on religion, then get away with the Lord. Slow your life down. Learn to walk in the unforced rhythms of grace. And then you will discover the very peace that you're seeking. Because it only comes in him. Amen? I want you to close your eyes and reflect on what God is speaking to you today. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, I never ever want to close a service without giving you that opportunity. We believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life. And the only way you come to him is when you ask him into your heart and live a life for him. In Romans chapter 10, he tells us that to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The confession comes when you recognize that you need him in your life. And asking him to come and forgive you of your sins and coming close to him. That's the confession. But then the belief is when you begin to walk in him and say, hey, I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to walk in your plan. And when you do that, everything begins to change. And if you're here today and maybe you're at a point where you're suffocating, you're tired, you're worn out, And the reality is, everything else has become more important to you. But God's been speaking today saying, hey, will you put me back number one? Will you put me as the one thing in your life? Will you learn to walk in the unforced rhythm? Will you get away with him today? If that's you, I don't want to embarrass you or anything of that nature. I just want to pray with you. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, that's me. I want to put him first in my life with no one looking around. I want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anybody else? Hey, I'm putting him back first. He's number one. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Let's pray today. And as we pray, I ask that all of us would repeat this prayer together. As we said, it's a reminder of what God's done in our lives. But for those of you that's made that commitment, let it be a commitment for you too. But it's reminding us that, hey, I can't do this without the Lord. I need the Lord in my life. And putting him first. But let's all pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I make room for you and put you number one in my life. In Jesus' name.